You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of In the Trenches here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. I am Noah Hiles, and joining me as always are the two co-hosts of the show, Jake Cradle and Gavin Bartholomew. And as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on the podcast here, we've got another guest. He will be with us for the entire show. Pitt starting quarterback Christian Vayer is joining us for all three segments. Guys, I normally throw it to Gavin and Jake to start here, but we'll start with Christian. Christian, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Nice little Wednesday afternoon, man. Can't complain.
There we go. So, guys, I'll throw it to you guys, too. Jake, Gavin, how's everything going? Got to be nice to be doing this show after a win. You know, the planning sessions haven't been fun in recent weeks, but it was a lot more enjoyable this time around.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. I mean, this week's been great. I mean, starting with Sunday, I mean, coming in the facility kind of, you know, with a win and not a loss the last 4 weeks. I mean, it's just so refreshing to, you know, get back to practice and really, you know, it's like everyone loves football to begin with, you know, win or loss, but it's just so much easier to do when you're winning. So, I mean, I'll tell you, I'm excited for this upcoming week and excited to keep the train rolling.
Yeah, it was definitely needed. You know, the team's all fired up about it. You know, we're all excited to get ready for this week and hopefully get another one.
All right. So we'll start off like we always do by just breaking down the previous week. You guys upset Louisville, number 14 in the country, no more undefeated, huge win. And a big storyline was the guy on the screen here right beneath me. So I'll start off with Gavin and Jake. I mean, what do you think Christian brought to the offense Saturday night? And, you know, how much fun was it to really get things clicking?
No, I think it was huge. I mean, he brought a spark that I think we desperately needed, you know, at a time where we're 1-4, or, you know, we still have a lot of games left. And it was that spark that we needed. And, you know, he came up big, you know, those two deep shots were huge. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, before the first drive in VT, when we got that long touchdown, I don't think we really had too many explosive touchdowns on the year. So it was great to see that, you know, see his poise. See the way he can lead a huddle, you know, lead our team and really, you know, kind of, you know, really won the game for us there in that fourth quarter on that fourth down. So I'm super excited, you know, keep it going and hopefully get back and, you know, block for him here soon.
Yeah, no, he definitely brought some juice that we definitely needed. We were missing throughout the previous weeks. That and like just being like a leader for the offense in the huddle and like on and off the field. You know, I felt like he did a great job throughout the game and continued. You know, even like in the shaky, like in the beginning, we were a little shaky, right? I mean, we all kind of knew that. But, you know, once we got rolling, you know, everything kind of clicked. And we're going to do that again this weekend.
Christian, my question for you is, were you nervous for this one? I mean, you played here and there throughout your college career, but this is your first start. It came over a bye week. It was big news. Were you nervous leading up to this one, or was it just like any other game leading up to Saturday?
Yeah, kind of nervous. I mean, anytime you have your first start, you'll have some nerves, get involved. But I think my biggest problem was that I was a little antsy. I felt like I had to speed up my tempo just because it was a game situation. I was like, shoot, I'm gonna get hit at some point. So I gotta go. I gotta speed up my footwork. And I think that's what led to me having struggle in the beginning. But like you said, I was a little nervous, but I was able to channel those nerves into positive energy, and I think it worked out pretty well.
So this is a question for all three of you. Just take me into the locker room at halftime. because you guys are in the middle of a fight. You've been going score for score with this Louisville team. We saw a little glimpse of it in a cool video that Pitt Football put out this week. And I think Narduzzi even said, you know, no points allowed in the second half, which is crazy enough it happened. But, I mean, what's going on in that locker room? What adjustments were made, if any? Or, you know, what's the discussion going on? We'll start with Christian and we'll just go around.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest message in the second half is I told everybody we're right where we want to be. We're within one possession of a top 15 team. We knew all week that it was going to be a dogfight. And, I mean, Coach Narduzzi saying defense shut out second half, and they actually did, I think, just a testament to how we got in there and we still had all the confidence that we have, if not more, than the first quarter.
Got you, Gavin.
You want me to go?
Yeah, I wasn't in there.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. Just telling everyone, like, there's still another second half. You know, everyone, positivity was, you know, I felt like throughout the whole locker room, no one was down. You know, we saw everything they did. You know, we were used, like, we just saw everything. And, you know, those halftime adjustments that we made were crucial for that second half, and it definitely helped us.
So, Jake, a different question because, yeah, you were with me at halftime. We were talking exactly about how there were no hot dogs available in the press box, a true travesty. But as a guy who's been here for a while, you've seen this team kind of play spoiler before. And you weren't around, obviously, in 2016 for the Clemson win or 2017 for Kenny's first start or whatever. But those were wins that I'm sure helped you make your decision on Pitt. And you've got a pretty good understanding of this culture, of this program. What allows you guys to win these types of games? To win games that no one expects you to. It happens every single year. How does that happen, Jake?
I think it's just the confidence within ourselves, within our team. You know, it starts with the coaches. You know, they give us the confidence to go out there and compete and really, you know, execute our jobs. And after that, it's just like, we know we're as good as anyone in the country. If we just got to play and execute, we'll win any game. Like, and that's kind of been the story of this year, is like the first, you know, five games, we didn't execute well at all. Like, we go in there on Sunday, and it's like, I missed a block or missed an ID or something like that, and it throws everything off. So I think we knew going into this week, look, if we just execute, do our thing, don't turn the ball over, which we didn't have, I mean, like, two penalties, like, we'll win any game we play. So I think it's a confidence within ourselves and, you know, the belief that we're good enough. Like, we're a top 25 team if we play like it. So that's kind of like my whole 6 years here is like, we've known we've been that good. It's just, we just got executed, and that happened on Saturday, and it was great to see, you know, and great to get a win like that against a good Louisville team.
So after the game, a lot was discussed, but if you were on social media, if you were in the post-game presser, this thing right here became a pretty big subject of discussion. We talked about it on the show last week. Jake and Gavin helped, you know, Pitt football fans stop hating you for a little bit. But, guys, I mean, what was that, you know, reaction like? You know, just seeing, I mean, because this is a program symbol that not a lot of people knew about prior to last week. So what was your reaction, all three of you, just seeing the memes on social media, seeing dudes carry it up to the podium? Christian obviously took some pictures with it after his press conference. I mean, what was the whole vase gate like on your point of view after it's all said and done now?
I think it was kind of funny, honestly. Like, it was, everyone kind of took and ran with it and made it a bigger deal than what it actually is. I mean, granted, like you said, it is one of our program pillars and kind of what we try to, you know, do everything by, like, on and off the field, you know, just get it done. Whatever it is, your homework, your assignment, your execution on the field, like, just find a way to get it done. Find a way to win the game. And it was just great to actually get it done and kind of make it a little less, like, you know, serious per se, because I feel like everyone on Twitter kind of took and ran with it. But no, it's all good, and hopefully we get some more wins with Blue Vase.
Gavin?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was kind of funny. I mean, I feel like the team knows, like, the true meaning, so, like, that's never going to change. But, like, looking on Twitter and seeing everyone's reactions, felt like everyone got a pretty good kick out of that. You know, Cradle did too.
And then, Christian, you said you're in the blue. How many Blue Vases are in the room you're currently in right now?
I think I counted 12 of them. All different shapes and sizes.
So as a guy who's new to the program, I mean, what was your first impression of this whole Blue Vase thing? And have you embraced it like everyone else has?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely embraced it. When I first got here, I was like, what the hell is the Blue Vase? Coach Salem was on my case my first week here. He's like, hey, I got a vase for you. I'm like, what's the deal with this Blue Vase? But like, as you get to learn the culture out here and understand these guys and Coach Dews, you find the true meaning in the Blue Vase, and it becomes a part of you, the way you play, the way you practice, the way you prepare. And it's just, it's a motto that we live by, even though it's not all over the facility. I think it's something that we hold true to ourselves.
All right. So we're going to transition now to the interview portion of the show. But before we do, Jake, who is this interview brought to us by?
In the Huddle is brought to you by the one place in Pittsburgh where you can caffeinate and create, Brushes and Beans Cafe in Marysville. At Brushes and Beans Cafe, you can enjoy delicious latte, cappuccino, cold brew, and much more while relaxing and creating your very own masterpiece. For more information, visit our website at www.brushesandbeanscafe.com or give them a call at 724-610-3782.
All right. Well, I'm going to step aside here. I'm not going to take myself off the screen, but this is where Jake and Gavin typically do the interview portion of the show. So, guys, take it away.
Yeah, I'll start it off. So what was it like coming into the U.S. in high school? Because, I mean, I'm sure that had to have been, you know, kind of crazy.
I mean, it was always something I knew I wanted to do. A lot of guys coming from Ottawa did it before me, going to schools in the DMV and really all over the country. So it was definitely a pain trying to find a school. That's a long story. We won't get into it, but it was cool. I mean, I had a great experience. I didn't board, so I lived with families. I got to know them extremely well. I mean, I wouldn't be here without their support and what they did for me. So, like, overall, I think it's one of the best things I ever did in my life was, you know, get out of my comfort zone and get away from the family and just chase my dreams.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
So now what was it like being in a different country during the whole pandemic and all the borders getting shut down and all that? Like, how was that kind of crazy? Or
yeah, I wasn't in the U.S. too long before I got bad. I remember, you know, the news coming out that the virus is killing China and it's about to come over to the States. And I was just like, yeah, you know, everybody got that, hey, we're going to take the week off of school. Everybody was probably like, yeah, week off, we'll be back. Next thing I know, Canada goes, hey, we're shutting the borders down on like Friday, and it's Monday. My dad calls me. He's like, yeah, buddy, I'm coming down Thursday, and we're driving up. And at midnight, they shut the borders down. And I think we crossed probably at like 8 p.m., something like that. So it was really like last second, like, hey, you got to come home. And to me, I was like, why the hell am I going to come home? Like, my life is down here now. Like, I go home, it just ruined everything I've done for the past 2 years. Thankfully, it worked out. The one positive I'll take from the pandemic is I got to stay with my family, like family time that I never got. You know what I mean? Time with my little brother, time with my parents. So I'm extremely grateful for that. But looking back on it, it definitely just hurt my whole process and my whole career. But I think, you know, I think it's going to work out for the best.
Christian, to follow up on that, you know, you get, because that was your senior year or your end of your junior year going into your senior year, right?
Yeah.
So that's, like you said, that's like a crazy important time in the recruiting process. That's huge. When you're getting your final offers. I think verbally committed in April of 2020. Is that right?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
So was there a part of you that like worried, hey, I might never play football in America again? Because if you go a couple of years without being allowed into the country, we didn't know how long this was going to take place. Were you worried that it's like, hey, this might go on for so long that like by the time it's over, I'm going to be an afterthought?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I mean, once I realized I wasn't going to have a senior season, that's when it really hit, like, shoot, this could really, like, mess up the next 2-3 years of my life. Thankfully, as the year went on and I committed to Penn State, I was able to learn that, yes, I'm guaranteed able to come down in January and early enroll. So that saved a lot of stress for sure. But was there a time and place where I thought, hey, like, all I've ever done, all I've ever worked for is just out down the drain? Yeah, definitely. And that was extremely hard, but being with my family, it definitely helped. And we all shared the same stress and same nervousness, but we all got through it together.
Nice. So I heard you snuck back into the U.S. for an Elite 11 camp the summer sure before did. Your senior year. Talk me through that. What happened there?
So in order to get into the States, you needed to have a good excuse to get in. So Elite 11 was my dream. Like, if I didn't make the Elite 11, I was like, what am I doing? So when I finally got accepted, I was like, okay, let's go. Then me and my dad are like, how are you going to get down there? I couldn't fly in. I had to drive. And at the time, I'm like 18. I just get my own license to like drive by myself past like 2 a.m. or something. So I get a fake letter from my high school saying that I'm coming back for summer school. So I get to the border, and the border was insane. I mean, like 100 feet before you cross the border, there was a stop, and the people like checked your car. So they checked my whole car, and they were like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going down to school. And they're like, all right. So they let me go through. Then I get to the actual place where you're supposed to cross. I give them the letter. I mean, they're reading the letter. I think it's like she called like 3 people over, the customs agent. She called like 3 people over. They're all reading letters. They're like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to school. I go to school. And they're all asking me questions. They think I'm crazy. But I'm like, hey, I go to school down here. So finally, they let me through. And I was like, oh, thank God. Because at one point, I thought they were going to send me back home. But luckily, I was able to sneak in. So you guys worry too much about your border situation down south. Maybe you got to check up north.
That's funny. So how'd you sneak back in? Did you sneak back in, or were they just kind of let you go through?
Getting back into Canada was easy. As long as you're a Canadian citizen, they couldn't deny you entry. But that going into the U.S., I needed a valid reason, and that was the letter from school, which luckily that worked.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
So now why'd you choose Pitt out of, like, by all the options you had and, like, being a Penn State guy and, like, big rival? What was your selling point on Pitt?
Well, to answer your rival question, you know, I'm a dude from Canada. I don't pay much attention to the rivalries and all that stuff down there. So to me, like, that didn't matter. A lot of people out there were like, Pitt this, Pitt that. And out here, people are like, oh, Penn State this, Penn State that. Like, to me, that didn't exist. But from day one of the portal, I think Coach Narduzzi called me when the portal opened. He called me at like 8 a.m. So I talked to him, and then Coach Cignetti the next day drove and came to see me. We had lunch for about like 2.5 hours. And it felt right. What you guys were doing, the system that Coach Cignetti has, I believe in Coach Cignetti a lot. And just you guys having Kenny Pickett and his success, I think that had a lot to do with me being like, hey, I can come here and succeed too the way he did. And obviously the city, I wanted to go somewhere where there was something to do, good food to eat. So that had a lot to do with it. But overall, like, once I took my official here, I mean, I just knew I committed right then and there. So.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
So, Christian, on that note, you've lived here for almost a year now. What are some of your favorite things to do? Where are your favorite places to go in Pittsburgh?
Best dinner spot, Pizzeria Primo downtown, Market Square. That's the spot. I think I've been there over 50 times. Maybe that's an overstatement, but probably somewhere around there. Things to do, definitely renting some jet skis and going to the point and all over the place. That's fun. Hanging out with the guys in Oakland, a good night out there. That's always fun with the boys.
Yes, sir.
And I'm also real close to Maryland too. It's only like a 3-hour drive. So I'll drive down there sometimes and go see the Greenberg family, which I lived with in high school. So it was just very convenient. Only 8-hour drive back home, which is pretty bad, but pretty good considering the circumstances. So, yeah.
All right. So Christian, what we do here on this show, we play a game with our guest each week. We've had games pertaining to a whole bunch of different subjects throughout this show. Jake typically wins most of these games. We cheated one week and let Gavin have the answers, and he won one week. But this week we are doing Canadian trivia. We have 5 questions. A couple of these came from Reader's Digest Canada. A couple of these came from my own research. We're going to get right into it. There are 5 rounds. Every question is worth 10 points, and the final round is like Final Jeopardy, so you can gamble as much as you want or whatever. All right, so Jake, Gavin, you guys ready?
Yep.
We'll let Christian answer out loud because I'd like to assume that he has the answers to most of these.
Yeah, all right. Suck.
Question number one. Canada has over 2,800 of these, which is twice as many as the United States. A, hockey rinks, B, colleges, or C, national parks. So again, Canada has over 2,800 of these, which is twice as many as the United States. A, hockey rinks, B, colleges, C, national parks. I'll give you guys 5 seconds to show your answer. 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Jake, what do you got? You
said A. Hockey rinks.
Christian, what's your answer?
Yeah, I'm an A guy.
That is correct. It is hockey rinks.
Sure. Bang.
There we go. 1-1.
Let's go.
Question number 2. The beaver is one of Canada's national animals. Which animal is the other national animal? Is it A, the elk, B, the Canadian horse, or C, a reindeer? Again, the beaver is one of Canada's 2 national animals. The other is either A, an elk, B, a Canadian horse, or C, a reindeer. Jake and Gavin, you have 5 seconds to give an answer. 4, 3, 2, 1. Jake, what do you got here?
I got A again. Yeah.
Okay. Gavin?
A. I got panicked.
Christian, what is the answer?
I don't know.
Yo,
either A or C. I don't know.
You're going to go with either A or C?
Yeah.
The answer is B, the Canadian horse.
What the heck is that?
I don't know. What
Canadian horses.
I think it's just a horse in Canada, if I had to go off a guess. But I don't know what makes it different than an American horse. But
it's probably a moose or something. Canadian horse.
Chris, have you seen like elk and stuff running around like in your backyard or whatever?
No. I live way too far south for that.
Okay. All right. Question number 3. Who is the highest selling Canadian artist of all time?
That's easy.
Oh, of all time.
A, Drake. B, Justin Bieber. C, Celine Dion. Again, the highest selling Canadian artist of all time, Drake, Justin Bieber, or Celine Dion. All right. You guys have 5 seconds. Show your answers.
I'm going with Jake, Drake.
All right. You're going with Drake as well?
Yeah. Got to be.
Vayr?
I might have to go with Celine. I might have to go with Celine, honestly.
He knows. Canadians love Celine Dion. Damn.
See, you set him up there.
How did I set him up?
No, I'm just kidding.
No, he set y'all up. I knew that.
Yeah. All right. Question number 4. Canadians eat over 1 billion of these a year. Is it A, hot dogs, B, donuts, or C, pancakes?
How much they eat, you said?
1 billion More than 1 billion of these a year are eaten in the country of Canada. Is it A, hot dogs, B, donuts, or C, pancakes?
God.
That's tough.
Better not be A, Christian. Okay.
Better not be A. Joey Chestnut's American. All right, Jake, what's your answer?
B.
B? All right. Gavin, what's your answer?
C.
Yeah, I'm going Christian. B. I'm going B.
That is correct. Donuts.
Oh.
Come on, Gav.
Damn.
You never been to Tim Hortons, Gavin?
Yeah.
That's
I have when I went to Buffalo. I went to Buffalo.
Never had some Timmy's, man?
All right. So, final question here. This is not multiple choice. So, you're going to have to write these down.
Damn.
The most popular sporting league in Canada is, of course, the NHL. There are 7 professional hockey teams in Canada, 7 NHL teams. Name the 7 NHL teams in Canada. Rather than doing a double jeopardy here, you'll get 10 points for every single team you name. So there are 7 NHL teams in Canada. Name all 7. You get 10 points for every one that you can name. Gavin, with that hair, you got to at least pretend to be a hockey guy, my friend. Come on.
I'm not going to lie. I can't tell you the last time I watched hockey.
Christian, are you a big hockey guy?
No, not really.
No?
There's 7?
Yes, there are 7.
Holy.
There's 7, and I can only think of 6 right now.
Trying to think. I'm not going to give any hints. All right. Jake.
That's crazy.
Let me see your page.
I got a Senators, Maple Leafs, and Flames.
All right. So Jake gets 3. Gavin, let me see your page. You got to show it up that way.
Bang.
No, that's sad.
None?
I was going to take the L. I had no shot.
All right, Christian.
I'm not going to do that.
Can you name all 7, Christian?
Well, first off, I don't know why none of you guys said the Canadians. Like, that should be the most obvious one. The Montreal Canadiens.
Yes.
So you got Canadians, you got Leafs, Sens, Oilers, Canucks, Flames, and then is this? I can't figure out the 7th one, man. So I got 6 for you.
The Winnipeg Jets.
Winnipeg. Oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's all right. Christian, surprisingly enough, cleans up and wins Canadian trivia with 90 points. Jake comes in second with 50. Gavin. Not a good
Canadian. That's just sad, Gavin.
Yeah. No, yeah.
That guy's American.
Hold my head higher.
All right, Gavin. As we transition over, since you lost, you have to be the one to do the ad read, even though you always do the ad read for this segment. Go ahead, tell us who this upcoming segment is brought to us by.
This segment is sponsored by Rendine Consulting, helping companies' staff integrate and optimize their technology systems. Call 412-965-5933 for your technology needs.
All right. So the way this works, Christian, we go through 4 topics here. The first one is a headline reaction. Second one is say something nice, where we talk about the upcoming opponent. Third segment is the practice player of the week, where you give some shine to some guys who have been looking good in practice this week. And the last one is key to victory, where you say your team's key to victory in 5 words or less. So the first one, headline reaction. This comes from ESPN. It's actually from the Associated Press. It says NCAA focused on employment status for athletes at Senate hearing. So as always, NIL, big topic. They've been discussing it, adding legalities to it for years now. But the idea of college players being employees of the university is something I would like to get all of your thoughts on. So some of the positives with this, obviously, I mean, I think this would include a revenue share. So the money that gets made from bowl games, from television revenue, from March Madness, that would be shared with you. So there'd be a bigger financial pot to distribute. That $40 million a year you guys get from the ACC, some of that would go into your pockets. What it also mean is healthcare from the university, and that means healthcare. I think I read 10 years after you leave your university, you get healthcare because you played a sport there. It would also mean a contract, though. So unlike an NIL thing where if you want to transfer, you don't have to worry about losing a brand deal that you might have made on your own or something. You're an employee here. So all of these benefits are tied into your commitment to said university. So we can go around. We'll start with Gavin and then just go counterclockwise. What are your thoughts on being an employee? Would you rather keep things the way they are now with NIL, or would you rather be a university employee?
I mean, it's a good question. I really honestly don't know. I mean, I kind of like things how they are now. I don't really know what they'd look like if they were different. You know, I kind of like content right now where I am. I feel like I'm doing pretty good. So I don't know. I'll see what everyone else thinks. But
that Snickers money's treating you well, huh, Gavin?
Not too bad. Yeah. Not too bad.
Christian, what are your thoughts?
I think there's a lot of implications both ways, but I think my biggest stance on it is, like you said, the ACC makes what, like $40 million? I mean, if we could just get like just a small percentage of that, I think it would be more than enough for us student athletes for sure. I think if they can benefit off of us, you know, playing every week and putting our bodies on the line, I think that we're entitled to at least a little chunk of that for sure.
And to be clear, Christian, the ACC doesn't get $40 million. Every school in the ACC gets $40 million a year based off of the television deal. And that number is like, I believe it's like 60 or 70 in the Big Ten or the SEC right now. So, So that's.
I mean, if every sport got a little chunk of that, I think everybody would be extremely happy and satisfied.
Jake?
Yeah, no, I agree with Christian on that. I think I would take, if I had the choice, I would be an employee and definitely take that, what you said, healthcare for 10 years after we play. I mean, that's huge. I mean, you could, you know, do a lot of things with that. And, you know, I think there's more money to be made than NIL. I think, you know, if you're getting a chunk of the $40 million, I mean, we're probably making more than we're already making right now. So I think being an employee and kind of like having a contract, man, I think, and honestly, I think it should be by a performance base too. I mean, this is probably a whole other avenue, but I mean, like, I feel like you should be getting compensated for your work. You know, if you're a starter or you score 50 touchdowns, you should get compensated for as if you're doing that. You know, not someone that doesn't necessarily play getting more than someone that's been out there starting making plays. You know, that's been, I think, a big thing in NIL, which it hasn't happened in our team, but it could like be a distraction for teams, you know, elsewhere. Like, you know, they could be seeing the guys in the background getting more money when the starter's not even getting paid, you know. So I think having a contract and having people stick to like performance based, because at the end of the day, this is a production business. You know, we talk about it all the time, you know, how much production is. What, dog? So that's I kind of lost my train of thought there, but I mean, honestly, okay. Yeah, I would love the to be an employee and, you know, get paid as if get paid for what I do, essentially.
I guess my take on it would also be, why can't it be both? You know, like professional athletes are employees of their teams, but they all have brand deals. They have shoe deals. They have endorsements. They're able to, if they have a YouTube channel, they can profit off that. So if you guys were to become university employees, you know, like that's your base salary. That guarantees you certain money. But if you do perform well, and I think that's where the incentive comes in, Jake, to do well, where, you know, everyone from the team gets a certain amount. But then if you do well and you become like a Michael Penix or a Caleb Williams and you become a national household name, brands will still want to work with you. And you can have an agent to help you negotiate those brand deals. So I think why can't it be both? I guess would be my thing if I were in your guys' spot. But that whole concept will be interesting because I don't know how a revenue share agreement works out to where it would be beneficial for college players, because you guys can't really form a players union because none of you guys are going to be there for more than 4 or 5 years. Yeah. And that's something that takes a lot of time. But will certainly be interesting to see how it all unfolds, because things are not going to stay the way they are now. It's clear. It's either going to change one way or another. So we'll move forward now to say something nice. Say something nice about your upcoming opponent, Wake Forest, 3-3. You guys play there on the road in Winston-Salem Saturday at 3:30. We'll go clockwise. We'll start with Jake and go around. Jake, say something nice about Wake Forest.
No, they're a super talented team. I mean, they're a team that, like you said, they're 3-3, but truly, I mean, they're a team that could be as easily 3-3. They could be probably 5-1. You know, they played Clemson tough. They played Virginia Tech tough to the fourth quarter. I mean, it's a really good team, really talented defense. I mean, up front, they're physical, fast, explosive. So, I mean, we got our hands full, but I mean, that's what we look forward to and just execute, and we'll see how we feel on Sunday, you know.
Yeah, like Jake said, they're a great team. I've actually somebody I look up to from Ottawa. His name is Luigi Villain. He played at Wake Forest his last couple years before he went on to go play defensive end for the Vikings. So I'm excited to go down there. I actually know one of their linemen, so excited for the opportunity.
Gavin?
Yeah, no, I mean, we get to play another good football team this week. You know, up front, they're pretty big. You know, I think they're good tacklers in open field and stuff like that. So it'll be a fun test.
All right. And, okay, so third down, we go with Jake and Gavin podcast practice player of the week. We'll start with Gavin and go around. Who is your practice MVP this week, Gavin?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Kenny Johnson. I feel like he had a good week of practice. He had a hell of a catch today in practice I saw him make, so I'm going to give it to him this week.
I'm going to say I'm going to go defense side of the ball. I'm going to say DeAndre Jules. I think he's going to have a really good game. I mean, we talked about him a lot earlier in the season with how he played in camp and stuff. And, you know, he's been a guy that's been super close to making, you know, splash plays, just, you know, maybe a missed tackle in the backfield or a missed sack here or there. But, I mean, that guy, he's getting to the quarterback, so I think he's going to have a great week this week.
Christian, what about you, practice player of the week?
I'm going to give a shout-out to one of our D-linemen on the scout team, Thomas Aiden. Yes. I mean, I could give the award to him for every single week this year.
Dog.
He brings the energy to practice. He pushes our O-line extremely hard. And today he was a factor for sure. So, you know, super thankful to have that guy to get us ready every week.
Piggyback off that, honestly. You know, Thomas is a guy that I'm not sure if anyone, a lot of people in the media know or outside the facility really know, but I mean, that's a guy that comes in. He's a walk-on. He's a guy that gives us everything every day. I mean, that dude, like Christian said, like, he's giving us fits. And I'll tell you, it makes it so much easier for guys like me inside, sometimes Gavin, when he gets to block him every once in a while. I mean, it makes the game so much easier, and it's just crazy how fast it is, you know, during the week, you know, practicing against him. So, I mean, I think that guy has a bright future here. I think he's going to be a guy that a lot of Pitt fans will get to know here in the next couple of years.
All right. Well, it looks like Gavin's having a little bit of Wi-Fi issues. So we can just – oh, yep, and he's gone. So we can wrap up the show here with our key to victory. In five words or less, we'll let Jake and Christian give their key to victory. Christian, we'll start with you. Five words or less, how does Pitt beat Wake Forest?
No turnovers. There you go.
All right.
Execute.
And Christian, I like that how you said no turnovers and then there you go. So, like, even that's perfect five. Man. There you go. All right. So, on behalf of Gavin, who is gone, and Jake and our guest Christian, I'm Noah Howell signing off saying thanks for tuning in for another episode of In the Trenches here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel and podcast network. You can hit that subscribe button if you want to. For all of your Pittsburgh sports coverage by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Take care.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.